what do you think of this, the stuff we're getting from a couple of sources right now? As I said, the Jays aren't making any comments on this publicly. But, man, I can tell you, a couple of people in the organization are really pissed off at Adam Lind right now.
Well, you know what? I got the sense that he wasn't necessarily thrilled with the other side of it. And the whole thing, like you said, was so bizarre. And, you know, he kind of said, he said that, he got the MRI at the behest of his mom and the foot hadn't been improving and he'd kind of gotten sick of the pain and all that. And, I think it took all of us a bit of a time to process it. I'm like, mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Did they really say that? Is this how it happened? And I think about it from the club's perspective, and they're like, they did the X-ray, they did the CAT scan, and for a while there was some improvement. So you're mm-hmm. like, okay. And then it plateaus. You're like, well, maybe he's piling all the pressure of the pounding from playing is just causing it to not help itself out or whatever the case is. And so I can perhaps see some logic in not automatically thinking, hey, maybe there's a need for an MRI, but this is so bad for how it looks. The optics mm-hmm. of it are absolutely terrible, and given how important Adam Lind is, it's also terrible. So it's a really bad spot in the midst of a really bad road trip. In the midst of a really bad month for the Blue Jays. It's just piling on right now.
Now, we're going to have Will Carroll on at some point to talk about this, either in Baseball Central or later on this hour. He is Bleacher Report's injury expert. But my understanding is, just from reaching out to a couple of people, that teams do not automatically MRI a player, especially for bone fractures, that typically you rely on the X-rays and the CT scan for the bone fracture, and that the MRI is more of a soft tissue thing. That's kind of like the Coles Notes version of what I've been told of sports medicine. But I'm also told, frankly, that the MRI that was done in Anaheim was actually done after a discussion with the team. And again, this is just stuff I'm getting from a couple of people. And here's the thing. I don't think Adam Lind's a liar. I just wonder if there's a gray area here. And I'm trying to look at both sides here. I'm just wondering if there's a gray area here that we just don't, something just isn't connecting.
That's possible. And my understanding is, in terms of the process, is the same as you. But stress fractures, I believe, and I could be mistaken about this, but they're more difficult to identify in X-rays, and that they are more likely to show up in an MRI than an X-ray. I could be wrong on that, but I had an issue with my foot, and I remember talking to someone about it, and they explained it in that way as well. So, yeah, is there some gray area? Sure, and maybe Adam Lind had a discussion with his mom saying his foot wasn't getting better and said, well, have you had this test yet? And maybe said, no, that's not right. That's not what's needed. She said, well, maybe just get it anyways. And then he would have asked the team to set it up for him, and the process would have unfolded that way. But, we're speculating a lot on this.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, he did get the test when needed, but the fact that it took this long with a player of his importance, makes you wonder a little bit. Like, and whose responsibility is that? Sometimes it's on the player to say to the team, this really isn't right, and I can't keep playing. But Adam Lind knows the situation, knows his importance, and maybe he tried to play through it longer than he should have too. So maybe there's some responsibility on his end as well. So you're right. I'm sure there's going to be some gray in this, but the optics and the frustration and all the things that have gone on over the past week, this is a cherry on top of the sundae in this storm. And it's like I said, it's just continuing to pile on at a bad time for the Blue Jays.
Shai Davidi of Sportsnet joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Shai is in Tampa with the Jays, who will play the Rays in a 3-game series starting tomorrow. The performance of Marcus Stroman yesterday, what do you think John Gibbons and the Jays took away from that outing?
I think it was just, one, at least John Gibbons, he was very impressed throughout that series with the Angels lineup. He really likes the way that they put down at bats and the way they grind and the way they fight. And, you know, he said that a lot of that was credit to the Angels because they just, in a lot of ways, wore him out. You know, they didn't necessarily kill the ball against him. I mean, he gave up the home run to Calhoun that tied the game, but there weren't a ton of laser beams against them. But there were a lot of good at-bats, a few balls that found holes. So I don't know that they're going to draw too many conclusions out of it, just because, you know, you look at the start before against Oakland, another really good lineup. I mean, when he was just dominant. So I think it was just a bad day. And to be honest, it was a sloppy day for both teams. You know, as poorly as the Jays played, the Angels were doing their best not to win that game as well. And I said to someone, I think it was the fifth or sixth inning, I said, this doesn't feel like a nurse a lead home type of game, and it turned out not to be. But I don't know that there's necessarily too much to be read into in this Stroman start there, aside from, you know, the Angels are pretty good, and he had a tough go with them.
John Gibbons' comments after the game about stupid plays costing the Jays, stupid baseball costing the Jays, referring to the to the slide at home plate, and nobody in the on deck circle. And generally, what happens, the guy in the on deck circle watches the play for the base runner and tells him to get down or go in standing up. And it's kind of one of those. It's one of those second nature things. You know, everybody says, well, you're taught that in Little League, and that's true. But it really is a second nature thing. And I have to admit, I didn't see it on TV at the time when I was watching it. But that was clearly something shy that really got under John Gibbons' skin. I mean, you and I have both talked to John an awful lot. We know what it takes to get him to essentially hang a player out to dry. And boy, he was... For him to do that is a pretty serious statement.
Yeah, and I think there's a cumulative effect, too. You think about the game on Tuesday where in the first inning, Steve Tolleson tries to steal third with two on, one out, and Jose Bautista up, and he gets thrown out. But even if he's safe, it's a bad play because then Bautista isn't going to get anything to hit. He's going to be walked intentionally. And on top of that, he doesn't have the green light, which he misinterpreted. And that's something that by July the 7th or 8th or whatever it was, that you should probably have straightened out. Mm-hmm. So there was that. Then there was Jose Reyes rounding first base way too aggressively and getting thrown out at first base. And there's just been so many other displays of bad baseball. I mean, the Jays went 3-for-16 with runners in scoring position yesterday. I mean, it's impressive that they were able to put together 16 at-bats with runners in scoring position, but three hits is not good at all. So you put all that together, I think the frustration boiled over, because sometimes those games, that little margin of error is what makes the difference. And so often for the Blue Jays of late, or at least in the past month, where they've been 10-21 since they hit their high watermark, little plays like that have cost them games, and that's what's helping the season slowly slip away. So, he was definitely, I think he was justified in saying what he said. It's surprising because, like you said, he rarely ever does that. He doesn't like to do it. He goes out of his way to protect guys. But I think he's gotten to the point where he feels enough is enough, and that if guys aren't going to be a bit more focused and show a bit more concentration, then he's going to let them have it.
You know, Shai, a lot of people are already weighing in and saying, look, with Edwin hurt, with Brett Laurie hurt, and now with Lind hurt. And again, if I'm told that if in fact that the Jays think that the 6 to 8 week thing may in fact be 6 to 8 weeks from the original injury, not 6 to 8 weeks from now. But again, we'll wait and see what the second opinion is. But a lot of people are saying with those three players out, maybe Alex Anthopoulos has to approach this trade deadline a little differently and not throw in the towel and blow up the team or anything like that, but approach it from the standpoint of, if I've got three regulars out, one of whom could still be out for a while, and Brett Laurie. We don't really know about Edwin. It's going to be hard to replace what we're losing, to replace what we're lost. So maybe you approach the deadline a little differently and maybe be not as aggressive. But my argument in all this is, look, you're going to lose Melky Cabrera in the offseason. You're going to lose Colby Rasmus in the offseason, at least where we stand now, Shai. I think we can assume that. You know, you still don't have a second baseman. This organization needs at least a couple of position players, not just for now, but it needs guys in place for next year and the year after that and the year after that. This isn't necessarily a short-term fix when it comes to position players in this team.
Right, and on top of that, I mean, even if you want to add right now, this team isn't one move away. You know, it's not like, all right, we'll get a second baseman or a third baseman and we're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at this point, I don't even know how you start fixing it, because there, do you get another outfielder, and then you put someone at DH? Do you try to get a first baseman? Do you get a third baseman, a second baseman? Do you still, you know, you probably need a right-handed reliever,
sure,
ultimately. So there are so many needs, and then right now so many injury holes and so many questions about when guys get back, that this isn't just easily fixable. And you can make a move and give up some assets and really not make much of a difference ultimately. So that's got to be a big, big factor in any calculations that they make, because, you know, you do want to spend your assets wisely. And, you know, as much as Dalton Pompey could be a terrific trade chip, you know, he could be ready for the big leagues at some point next year. And maybe he's a long-term solution for you in center field if you don't believe in Anthony Gose. And I think the Blue Jays probably have a good idea of what Anthony Gose is and what some of his limitations are. So they've got a lot of decisions to make. How far do you push? I mean, the other thing is, and this is the big incentive to do something, is that this division, against all odds, won't run away from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the Baltimore Orioles have a real meat grinder of a schedule coming out of the All-Star break, and they're going to be very catchable at that point. The New York Yankees could lose Masahiro Tanaka for an extended period, and that's going to really impact them. And Carlos Beltran has some more injuries right now, and that could weaken them as well. The Boston Red Sox are out. The Tampa Bay Rays have a long way to go to get back in. And this is a division ripe with opportunity. So, I mean, this is really complicated, and it's going to be really intriguing to see which direction this team goes, because this, another opportunity like this may not exist for a while.
No, there's so many ways to look at this, and I mean, it's changed. It's changed like three or four times, you know, in the past couple of weeks, depending on how you want to look at it.